Get ready to catch the foul ball.
Would you all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
All four of you. You better be good, too.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Hey, Carol, will you call roll?
President Graves.
Here.
Vice President Dawson.
Present.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Steele.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Carol, out of curiosity, when does the recording get turned on? After I pound the gavel or before?
Right when you hit it.
Perfect.
Just in case, guys.
You want that for your phone?
Okay. I've got this agenda in front of me. I'm going to try to follow it if I can read it.
Giants.
Public comments. This is the time for comments from the public, hence the name Public Comments. Is there anybody here that has anything that they would like to bring to the board that's not on the current agenda? Okay, public comments are closed. Staff, are there any presentations this evening?
Nope.
Okay. Chair report and director's comments. Directors, any comments this evening? Ray? Mark, do you have anything to say, Mark?
No.
Mr. Steele.
Community Center Committee is making good progress and looks like we're on schedule.
Nice segue. Director Dawson.
The only thing I had tonight is we went to the Splash Pad this weekend, and it is just really popular. I think it's a great thing. If you drive by it on the weekend, you'll see it. It's just packed.
Did you push the kids out of the way and play it?
I did play a little bit, yes, I did.
Is this when I give my report?
Okay. The only thing that I would like to bring to the table is that I did go to the ECCFPD meeting on Monday. There was not a lot of discussion with regards to the Brentwood situation, and they're looking into pulling out of the district. They claim that their priority is to maintain the district in its whole, because they do understand that they probably can't do it standing alone either, no matter how much it would take. But the bottom line is, we hope that they're sincere about that. They sounded sincere, and I'm going to take that at face value. The other thing that was done is an ad hoc committee was put together has one board member from Oakley, one board member from Brentwood, and one board member from the outlying areas, the unincorporated areas. And that committee, along with staff, is going to take a look at exactly what model they want to work with, whether it be a six station, eight station, or 10 station model, and first look at what the needs are rather than look at what we need to make those needs fit. And I think that's a really good approach. And so that ad hoc committee met at its first meeting Monday at 2 o'clock, and I'll be interested to find out where that's going. Long range, really what this district needs is 10 stations, and staff knows that, but funding is a whole other issue, and really what we're looking at is probably an assessment district-wide to bring back the two stations that were eliminated, bring us back to an eight-station model with paramedics on board at each station. Would probably be an assessment of somewhere between $180 and $220 per household. And that's just a stark reality. So where they're going to go with that is beyond me, but that's kind of what I've learned. You have something, Brian?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Is Eric still...
Eric's actually stepped down through what he considered to be maybe a conflict of interest because of his role on the Brentwood Council, and he has stepped down as president. And Kevin Romick, I believe, was the vice president, and he has stepped up as president. So that's what I have to report from that. And Carol, I will be turning in a written report post haste.
Very good.
Consent calendar.
Anything
on the consent calendar? Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Chris, back to you.
Sorry. I just wanted to give you an update. I attended the LAFCO meeting on June 8th. And again, there's going to be a public hearing regarding the police services MSR review and their sphere of influence. There's going to be some good information out on that. But they're analyzing all the costs and the services that are available in the county right now. The commissioners seem to kick up the pace on the reporting on the fire district situation. Again, what Kevin, what you said today was reiterated to LAFCO commissioners by Stone Barger and the city, or assistant city manager Brentwood, and also Jim Frazier of Oakley came up and said we'd rather be together than, you know, take this thing apart. So, but they're looking at options. Commissioners have now asked for a monthly reporting from these guys on how their negotiation and plans are going, and it may become more frequent than that, but it seems like they were perked up a little more interest than I've seen in the past. So anyway, that's what I have to say.
Thank you for that, Chris. Okay, any other comments from any directors? Okay, moving on to the consent calendar. Is there anything on the consent calendar anybody would like to make note of?
No, I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Was there a discussion? I did. I looked and said, is there no further discussion? Brian, I'll run the meeting. Keep your nose in your book. All those opposed? Okay, I believe the motion passed. New business. Item one, a resolution. Was something that was talked about and it's been brought back to the board. So would you like to speak to this? I believe it's a relatively simple thing, but staff, it's yours.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This item was brought to the board in closed session relative to a modification to the existing travel policy that covers travel and compensation policy that covers the compensation of the board. Travel by board and staff and that sort of thing. What we've done here is made two changes to it. They're highlighted in yellow on page 3 of the draft of the policy. It does not change any item relative to compensation. It only changes two things. One is that employees that receive an auto allowance, if they travel more than 25 miles in one direction on district business, we get reimbursed for the trip. And then the second one is that I wanted to make sure that we had a more specific method of calculating mileage so that when people do submit reimbursement mileage, that they do so by using Google Maps and that sort of thing. That's when they're going out on district business. It's, you know, but oftentimes it's an employee driving around town doing some district business, and so it's short, it's a mile here, a mile there. But this is mostly if someone's been traveling distances on district business, that they would be able to identify the mileage from a specific point that's calculated. It's easily to determine where it came from. So those are the only two changes. It's pretty straightforward. So if you have any other questions, we'd be happy to answer.
Go ahead. Did you have something, Brian? Not
yet.
I just wanted, for clarification purposes, staff, so you're saying that mileage that is declared on any reports, whether it be from the board or from employees, be backed up with Google Maps submitted, or did that system be used, and then staff can verify that, or how what's...
When either board members or staff would submit their mileage reimbursement slips, they would also attach a Google Map, a Yahoo, or a MapQuest showing the distance from point A to point B and what the trip amounted to.
Okay.
I have an issue.
Rick, please. I think I do too, but go ahead, let's see what yours is.
Well, you know, I know we talked about it before, but in retrospect, I'm looking at the mileage for employees with car allowances and just seems kind of like car allowances to cover the car expenses. So, yeah, I'm kind of having an issue with that.
Any comments from other board members?
I have questions. In calculating this mileage, are we talking about only over and above trips and not just the daily course of people? Shows up for work here and drives from here to Bixler, from Bixler to... Are you talking about in the course of driving through town, or only if they're sent on someplace special?
If they're sent someplace special, and they're using their personal vehicle.
How often does that happen?
It happens pretty regularly. Well, for example, I'll give a perfect example. Today, one of our employees had to go to the county building and use their personal vehicle for that.
But they don't receive a car allowance?
That's correct.
So this doesn't affect them?
I don't have a problem with that.
No, this is, there's two separate things at play. One is the method of calculating mileage versus, when they're using their personal vehicle, any employee's personal vehicle, like it's your business. And what we're seeing now is that more and more companies and industries are requiring their employees to utilize, so that the mileage is accurate, that they're using Yahoo Maps or MapQuest or Google Maps, something like that, so they can determine the mileage. That's one. The other part of it has to do with the, for those employees, which is one, that receive an auto allowance, the thought was that the auto allowance covers the incidental cost of driving the vehicle around town, within 25 miles of the district, and anything above and beyond that would then be reimbursed. Those were the two substantial changes.
So a trip to Sacramento would be reimbursed if you had a reason for Sacramento, but not a trip.
Not a trip to Stockton.
Within the community.
Yeah.
Well, Stockton is more than 25 miles.
Well, the trip to the attorney's office was kind of the number that I was using. So it would not fall outside, it would be inside the 25 miles.
That's true. If you go to 8 Mile Road, it's further, I agree.
From here to the attorney's office, for example,
23 miles.
It's less than 25 miles. I go to meetings in Brentwood, it's less than 25 miles. If I go to Richmond, or not Richmond, I'm sorry, if I go to Martinez or Sacramento, or we're going to be going out and running numerous visits to a number of recreation and community centers, that's outside, above, and beyond, was my thought. And that was the discussion that we had.
Go ahead.
Could we not alleviate that by just using Virgil's car? He's got a company car. It's actually a very nice car. On the rare occasion we have to, could we just take his car away? We're already a company car.
I guess we could. I mean, it is. We've taken it before. I mean, I've been with travel with Virgil on business before outside of the area. We used his vehicle. At that point in time, you're paying for the vehicle and the gas completely. So it doesn't happen that often. It's not an everyday occasion occurrence. It's those infrequent trips that are outside of what would be normal and customary in terms of normal customary business driving around town. If I had a vehicle, for example, if I had a company vehicle that was an option to me a year ago, it would be the vehicle plus a gas card, and so that's not in play.
That's true. Did you have more, Mark? And then my only question was the thinking behind, if in fact you're saying to us anything within 25 miles is acceptable and that's part of my car allowance, then why isn't that deductible from the total mileage on the trip that's over 25 miles? Why is the first 25 miles now included in that trip? In other words, a trip to Sacramento is 140 miles round trip. I'm pretty close to that. I do it and charge it to the state most of the time. So you would then deduct 50 from that 140 and get paid for the difference of 90 because it's excess of what you would consider to be, since you've established this as 25 miles, it would be in excess of what you would feel to be comfortable with your car allowance.
My initial thought with it when I was presenting it to the board was that it was for that the auto allowance covered the incidental driving that I do around town on a regular basis.
And I understand
that too. And the business that I do around town on a regular basis. When I need to go to Sacramento, which isn't regularly, we took those trips up to Auburn. We're going to be doing a couple hundred miles here in the next few weeks relative to visiting community centers. Fortunately, I have a vehicle that can accommodate a lot of people, so it's kind of a plus to a certain degree.
Understood. Do you have any more on that subject? Let's address.
Let me just dig this up. Does he? I mean, the employee who uses his own car gets the same car allowance, gets the same mileage amount you want, plus you have a car allowance for so much amount for your vehicle. So how is that there? It's not.
Well, except that when we hired Rick, the board had agreed that we would provide him with a vehicle, and the option he chose was a car allowance as opposed to the vehicle.
His option.
I understand, but that answers your question as to why he is getting a car allowance and other employees aren't.
No, that was, I said...
I missed the question, sorry.
The difference...
I said that if an employee was to drive to Sacramento with his own vehicle, he gets paid so much a mile. He proposes that if he goes over a certain mileage, he gets the same mileage so much a mile. Plus
so
he's
it goes
getting,
back in that 25-mile
plus
allowance.
He's getting, well, yeah.
If
that's...
Well, the only difference with that, Director Tetro, is that they're getting reimbursed for 100% of their mileage for every mile they drive, and whether it's a mile or it's 100 miles, they're getting reimbursed for the entire thing all the time. And the thought here was that the auto allowance, I understand, because the auto allowance would cover the, like I indicated, the incidental mileage. We don't have to make any changes to it. That's perfectly okay with me too.
Well, we want to be fair and equitable. Mark, do you have anything more? Chris, do you have any input?
I think anything over 25 miles an hour or 25 mile radius is abnormal or additional driving for the job. And I know we need to, gas costs are going up and vehicle costs are going up. So I think we need to take a hard look at what makes sense here. But yeah, I think the threshold outside of a certain radius makes sense that we would, and there'd be an additional. But I would like the
first 25 to be
first
covered.
25 is part of the
Ryan,
the company.
Do you have anything?
I'm fine with what you and Chris have proposed with. I mean, I think anything over 25 miles, whether he gets a car allowance or not, he does a lot of driving around town, what have you. But anything over 25 miles, I think he should get, or anyone who gets a car allowance should get mileage. But I don't think that the minute you go over 25, you should gain that 25 back. So I'm with you guys with anything over the 25.
Yeah.
Over the count.
Okay. Any other discussion on that part of, and then we'll get around to dealing with it. But I just, is that, is any more discussion on that part of this? This is a two-part deal. Is there any more discussion on that? Okay, my only input with regards to your Google Maps deal is that you're asking people that don't get any sort of, that don't have access to I guess to have access to town property to use their own money to print out maps and paper and ink to print out maps to submit when it, staff has that available to them here and it's on the town's dime and not on the director's dime to print that out. Well, if I have to submit a map for every time I travel to a meeting that's outside, away from this office, I pay for the paper and the ink to do it. I replace my printer cartridges all the time at home and they're not cheap.
No.
There's a lot of ink that goes in with all those directions. I mean, that's 2 pages worth of can be, when you print that stuff out. And I think that's a burden on me that I really don't want, to be honest with you.
I would recommend that we just strike item
B.
I can do that. I can make that administratively with my staff separately. As an administrative regulation for my staff, it does not apply to the board, so that's okay.
Okay. And just for the record, that's how I figure my mileage. I do figure it by Google Maps. And I figure it from the location I left to the location I go to, whether it be, because I have an office that's in Martinez. When I go to the aviation meeting, it's only 8 miles if I'm already in that office. If I'm in the Stockton office, it's different, but if I'm in, so I don't charge from Discovery Bay, I only charge from the location I leave to the location I go to and back to the location I go back to. It varies depending on where I am that day, because I'm not in the same place every day.
So what I understand then is that we would delete item B. But let me do this. Let me make those changes and bring that.
Okay, let's table that for this meeting. Or I don't want to
take no action.
Take no action. Excuse me. I want to take no action on that. Item two.
Item two is the FY 11-12 operating capital budget. We It's, this is the third time it's been before the board. We brought it to the board originally back in May. We had the budget meeting workshop last Wednesday. The recommended changes from the board were included and implemented into this document. So the changes are in here that we discussed last Wednesday evening. The result of that was a 5% rate decrease from 22 to 17% as a blended rate number. I think that was the number that you were trying to approach to. Or that certain members of the board,
I think our goal is to lower it. If we lowered it that much, we're happy. But I mean, we'd love it to be nothing, but obviously we can't get there. And is that, you were going to get this verified by our rate consultant, and are we there at this point? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, the blended rate for, the blended rate is 17% between the two. I don't remember the, off the top of my head what the water and the waste, and the wastewater ones were, but the overall blended rate ended up at 17%. So if you want to go into some of the changes we talked about last week, more than happy to do so. But if the board has any questions.
I would like to make a motion that we approve the fiscal year 2011-2012 operating capital and revenue budgets for the coming year.
I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. This would be time for any discussion, if there's any discussion, by the board. Did we spend quite a bit of time on this last Wednesday? We consistency's there. I haven't noticed anything. I think everything that we talked about has been taken care of. Chris, you okay?
No, I'm good.
Is there any comments from the public before we make a vote on this?
Mr. President, can I have one quick point of order?
Yes,
I'm sorry. As part of that recommendation, I'd recommend that you amend it to include adopting resolution 2011-16 as well.
So amended.
The second amended?
Yeah.
Okay, the motion's been made. It's been amended. Second's been amended. Any further discussion? Council, we okay with that? Okay, good. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Staff, thank you for your hard work on that. We appreciate that. Yes, Council.
Yeah, I don't know if we did take comments from the public. If they did, I think we kind of changed some things. I wasn't sure if there were comments from the public.
Well, I didn't see any hands. Was there? I'm sorry. It was behind Farron's head. I didn't see it. Mike McCleary, please come up and give us your comments.
Forgive me, I can't find the proposed budget in the handout. Does the proposed budget still include $384,000 as a reserve for replacement?
$320,000.
It was reduced to $320,000. It was some compromises.
$234,000. Most of the reduction is in capital. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we pulled out, Mike, we pulled out, how much did we pull out for the...
We pulled out 110 for the shade structure for the vehicles. So we pulled out...
No.
$20,000 for trailers.
Oh, I think the total amount was total dollar amount of the removals was
$234,000.
Yeah. I don't remember the breakdown of the all the time.
And do you have a proposed second year budget? Do you know what the rate increases are for that?
Yes, we do. We do have those. I don't have them here with me. I can send you an email with that tomorrow if you like. We will be bringing the rate study back. The rate hearing, I mean, will be on August the 3rd, and it is a two-year rate hearing. So we'll have both years as part of that. The board can adopt one or both. Or
I was at the service meeting yesterday, so expect a lot of concern from the citizens.
Oh yeah,
understood. Yeah. Okay. Good to go?
Thank you.
Item three.
This item came about at the request of Director Dawson. Our code enforcement represented to our code enforcement committee had a time conflict on this to be able to attend this meeting and has been unable to do so. I've been filling in the absence of the director, Director Tetro, and Director Simon is the alternate to that committee. And so it would be appropriate at this point in time for the board to select a new primary to this committee or...
Does Director Simon want to be the primary?
I'll take him. He meets at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and I'm not here usually when he does. He
Okay, so would anybody like that assignment?
I wouldn't like it, but I'll do it.
That you're worth it. Okay. All right. Well, does anybody else want? Don't everybody put up their hands at once here now?
I mean, I'll.
Okay,
I'll
so let's do. Actually, the president has the option to appoint committee members. Is that correct? Or do we have to vote on this?
The president can appoint with board board
approval.
Ratification.
Okay. I would like to appoint director or vice president. Excuse me.
Dawson
to that position with enthusiasm, I should add.
Thank you.
Do we have to get ratification from the board? Okay. All those in favor of ratifying that nomination, please. Is there any discussion from anybody in the room? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you very much. I'm going to break your record if I can do it. Veolia, you got 2 minutes. No. Hey, Gerald, come on up.
Thanks for that presentation, Gerald.
Good job. All right.
That was great. Thank you, Gerald.
Thank you, Gerald.
Hey, Gerald, how you doing, buddy?
Nice to be back.
Yes.
It's 90 degrees out and the board's a bit giddy.
Well, actually, I thought there might be something up on the board. What we discussed here recently was that you wanted to be able to see the same report that we were showing up there. So the best thing was to make one report. We all got the same report. Now I've got it. You've got it. It's the report that gets submitted in.
Okay.
The report has been changed a little bit in format because the new contract required very specific things to be in the report. And so we built this format for that. And I go through and I can talk about these things. Again, this is a little bit different than my style of reporting, as you might see. And so I might stumble through it a little bit, but we're all friends, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So we're talking a little bit about training. One of the things that we're trying to do is to identify all the types of training we're doing, whether it be software training, operations training, safety training, in-house, shipping people out. And so you can see here that we've listed various things such as hazard recognition, which was a webinar that both Jennifer and I attended. When there's belt press operation that the new maintenance person and myself work together on, when vendors come out, that is a good opportunity to snag them up and say, hey, what's this little thing down here work do it? And you get very specific items that they might be more familiar with in terms of, because they're in the manual, deep in the manuals and that sort of thing. Plant operations and lab. I spent about 20 hours so far when I wrote this report. I'm spending a lot of time in the field. Got kind of warm today and yesterday. I noticed. Staying very busy out there. Chemical hygiene plan was reviewed. We talked about some of the safety, which is preventing heat stress and heat exhaustion, how to identify the two. It's real important. There's 6, 7, 8 of us out there. We're spread out. It's good to keep an eye on the guy that you're working with, kind of make sure that they're not having an incident. And again, housekeeping is always an issue. The water service and the wastewater service are the two different sides that were specifically topicked out in the contract. So we picked a few of the things to talk about here. If you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to discuss as I can about these items. The first item there is flushing of mains. We're responsible for about 25% of the town per year. We've done 100% of all the mains already. And I believe I wrote down, I think it's 113. I have that listed on the next page. But the dead ends have not been all completed. And so we're working on that during the day. We go out, we flyer the immediate area, go out there and hit the dead ends. It's a little bit of a challenge because they're not all the same. Meaning some are male, some are female, some are 2.5 inch, some are 2 inch. And so we're having to, as we find them, kind of build material and run down to the local hardware store and pick up a particular type of connection to be able to flush those out. Well 5 air vac, we had some problem with that. It has been replaced. A 3 inch was put on actually today. The 2 inch first to get us by, 3 inches on now. The booster pump in over at Newport Water Treatment Plant, we had that quoted for repair and it is to be removed. I'm thinking this within the next, either this week or the first of next week. Let's see. The Newport variable frequency drives are showing errors. We're investigating what these errors are. What happens is if the VFD isn't working just right, it doesn't sequence properly. If it doesn't sequence properly, it kind of throws a glitch in the whole system, and we want to make sure that that's taken care of. So it is being investigated.
Is there any connection to that, the fact that booster pump needs repair?
No.
Okay.
We're developing the water valve exercise program. Part of this this particular part of the report is you talk about what is happening, what is going to happen. So these last two are part of what's going to happen. So the water valve exercise program is being developed, and we are planning to inspect all filter media. As far as customer inquiries, we only had one. It was about the chlorine odor. That was researched. You know, it's one of those things where you're not sure if you can't really check right at the time, because water travels, and the water was well within the limits at that time. So
it was by that pesky Rick Howard, that's why.
Well, he's concerned. We have four active wells producing 127 million, 127 million gallons. 3,800 gallons of chlorine were delivered for the month. That's another thing that the contract wanted to see, was how much chemical was being used. We can't really give you an exact amount, but we can tell you how much was delivered each month. So that gets you pretty close.
Well, eventually we'll know that then by, right. Hopefully you're not stockpiling it.
No.
Okay.
No. 113, I was right, hydrants were flushed. Bacteriological test results, we conducted 16 of those test results, zero positives for both fecal and total coliform. On the wastewater side, one more minute. Give me one more minute. Okay. Wastewater service side, we're starting this influent flow. It's a load study. What we've done is we've taken both influent locations, put new ultrasonic heads on those so we can flow pace how much water's going in there, and take a sample based on flow, which before we were doing it in time. This will give us a better sample, much more representative, which is something we absolutely have to have to determine how many pounds of BOV is going into the plant and what location. All of my calculations are based on this number, so it has to be as accurate as it can possibly be. It's scheduled actually for June 13th. We're working on warranty items with Trojan, Ultraviolet. We're running out to the end of the warranty time, so I like to have those guys out here going through it with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that we're getting all their service up to that point. And so he was out for 2 days. I plan to have him out one more time to go through the whole system, if I can swing that, and make sure that system is in 100% top shape before we switch all the flow to that side and then see how it operates. Now, we have seen a few hits on that particular side for total coliform, a hit meaning a little bit higher than the other side, because instead of just doing the mix, which is what is required by the state, we sample also at both sides at the same time to see which one's doing doing better. And there have been a few there, but we're addressing those. Two pumps actually were out for repair. We installed them today. I spent some time out there this afternoon with one. I think I'll be out there first thing in the morning with one. Plant 2 rotor was put back online. This is our plant. Plant 2 rotor 1 was put back online. The effluent pump station controls have been repaired and logic monitored to provide more steady state operations to UV. You might have heard that the pumps were coming on and it was shooting a blast of water through there, and anything that isn't just steady state in any kind of wastewater treatment plant is not desirable. Steady is always better. Lift station F was entered and cleaned multiple times actually. There were no customer inquiries. We have 15 lift stations active. We used 195 gallons of polymer. We had no sanitary sewer overflows, and we treated 53.18 million gallons. And the last page shows a little bit of the laboratory. This is something that I brought in from the last report. Again, we don't have the most current data because it's not all in. It doesn't make sense to give you partial data because these could be averages, as you can see. So it does give you an idea of what March and April might look like, trend. If there was something to jump out there, I usually highlight it in red. There were no issues. Maintenance, preventive and corrective, a total of 296 were completed this month, or month of May, excuse me, for a total of 194 hours. We had 20 call outs. None of those were emergencies. In the contract, it also asks for how much time is regular and how much time is overtime. As you can see, in this month, we had 1,120 regular hours, 131 and a quarter overtime hours.
Yes, Director Tetro.
Two questions. Number one, is there a backlog on PM?
Hey, that's my question.
It's a good question, and I can say yes, there is a backlog. We reduced the 300 or so that was for 22, I think it's down to six, or maybe nine, so we're almost completed with that. The backlog is always a backlog. If it comes out today and I don't get it done until tomorrow, it automatically goes in a backlog. Is it a 7-day backlog, 30-day, 60, or 90-day? That's a different question. And those statistics I don't have with me right now. So
you know how many hours or...
Pardon?
You don't know how many PMs or how many hours represents or anything like that?
I don't have any of that information with me today. Sorry.
Second question is the bypass that we just put in. Is it up and running?
It can be operated.
Is it automated?
Well, my next question, well, number one is it running, okay? And then I was going to ask you, and how many times have we used it since we put it in service?
Every single week.
Okay. Is that
fun? And I would love to talk about this, so if you give me the opportunity to do so, I would.
I would like to know a little bit about it.
Okay, I'll tell you a little bit about it. We have a system that it was put on as a fix to two things. One, if you have bad water, you've got to put it somewhere so it doesn't go out the back end and cause you to go out of compliance. Also, we have to clean the system that we have, and in order to clean that system, we have to divert that water so we can also not go out of compliance. Now, the system wasn't designed for that. We put that bypass in, and we're pumping the water into the lagoons, which are full. They've got 10 years worth of sludge in there. So even if I evaporate down 2 or 3 feet, and I go out there every week and I divert the flow and it goes up 1.5 feet every week and I get it back down, I've still only got 2 feet in two feet in one pond and probably that much in another pond, which is maybe 4 million gallons, 3 million gallons. So it isn't gonna go more than a day and a half if I have to divert more than that. We haven't gone full automation, but I think we can. We did some modifications on the UV today, delays and seconds. The UV still has, the NTU meter has to be mounted on a permanent basis. And once we get that done, it will work. It'll call out an operator if it goes out for more than 5 minutes. How that looks, how that feels, and what that requires, how many times we're going to get called, it's still up for grab, but we'll have to work through it. But you're going to need a place to put the water.
Well, that begs the question, is there any thought on doing something at least, I know we can't put it through belt bars because it doesn't,
there are.
At least get rid of some of it.
There's options. There are people out there that can come in and hook into that system and wipe it out in a week, 2 weeks, and get it all, set it right there, maybe even put it on our ground, maybe haul it off for us. And there's all kinds of things you can do in term to that. We can operate 24 hours a day, get another person out there and do something like that. It maximizes it. I don't know if that's necessarily the best way. I think if it's there, it's old, we need to get rid of it. I think we bring someone in, get rid of it, and it's done.
We're actually going to be meeting with Veolia staff, our staff, and Berwyn staff on this issue specifically within the next 2 weeks.
Okay, no, I used to go to those meetings and I'll bring the bottle.
This isn't your subcommittee meeting. This is
I used to go to Virgil's.
We haven't had one.
Can I come down?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes, Mark.
I was looking at the daily coliform level. It's almost double in April over March. 17 in March and 30 in April.
Is there a check in the
That's a maximum? That's not that much off. But again, that was a hit that came in that day. It's calculated based on a 7-day median. And there's two ways you do the 7-day median, depending on how the state feels that day. This particular season, they want us to do it a certain way, so we go back 7 days that a sample was collected. If that's 2.5 months worth of time, that's how far we go back so we can find 7 days. In that 7-day period, if you collected a sample, and one day it was a 22, and the other day it was a less than 2, and one day it was a 30, then you look over that whole time and you say, what was the maximum for that period? and then what was the 7-day median? And this right here is the, I don't have my glasses, but this is the daily maximum. So for a 30-day period, that was the highest we had. And that is over the 23 limit, but it does not make you violate the 7-day median, which is where your permit limit is.
Anything else, Mark? Chris, anything?
No.
Brian?
How are we coming in the hiring of
general manager?
No.
Yeah.
Project manager.
See, I didn't even ask you about any information at all.
We have put out a search for individuals. We are looking internally. Some of the difficulties we're having is that in order to work here, the contract says you have to have a California license and you have to have had it for 3 years. Well, there just isn't this huge pool of people that are just looking for a job within Peoria. And many of the people that are here already, that are of that quality, already have jobs. So there isn't this big pool of people that have a grade 3 or higher for 3 years that have worked in California. So it's real slim pickings. We've done several interviews. We hired one guy, and I'm not sure why, but it didn't work out. So we're back to the drawing board. Now, whenever you go through the process of procuring a job, it takes a little time because HR has to approve it, and it has to go through the process. It's kind of a big company thing.
I've been working with Doug Little on this subject specifically, and one of the positions that we have control over within the contract, Peoria, is the PM position. So we don't like the person, we don't necessarily kind of tell them move forward. They have brought a couple of people to us, and to be honest, haven't felt comfortable with them, and so they moved on. They are in the process of recruiting, continuing to recruit. Doug and I were discussing it yesterday, so it is an ongoing conversation, and we are staying on top of it.
Let me ask the devil's advocate portion of the interview question. How does this affect our contract as far as financially, fiscal responsibility to be able to with our project manager?
Well, we do have a project manager. We have Doug Little, who's the project manager. He's on site every day. He's the interim project manager. He's on loan to us right now. So we do have Doug. Doug's completely capable and very well qualified.
Great call.
Grade 5 across the board, and is doing, he's here all the time.
You were in there until we find somebody.
Yes.
Do you have more, Brian?
Yes, sir.
How many wells do we have in Discovery Bay?
Five.
Well, and one of them's down because?
Waiting on a permit.
Which is 6? Okay. I shouldn't have asked. Go ahead, Ray.
You can't run that well, even if it was permitted, with the other two running.
Correct. So you don't have the capacity to run the equipment that you have.
I understood.
All at once.
And that's because of the filter, or the lack of.
That's correct.
Okay. Right.
It's only filters enough for two wells.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else for Veolia from the board? Any questions from the public? For our contractor, Gerald, you just were on a roll there. Nice job.
Thank you very much, Gerald.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was summer. General manager's report.
I just have one quick item.
Did I say that out loud?
This is a quick slideshow. It's going to fly right by you. Close your eyes. So this was from Saturday at the Relay for Life, our team campsite. We were out there. We got the banner flying.
There's Rick working hard.
Yeah, I'm working.
Budget.
I was working hard when I got there, too.
This is our team members, Joey and Liz and everybody else that was there and participated. Farron was there. She had her kids there. And we had some big family affair. There's Director Simon and Mrs. Simon with Sparkles the Clown. Just some more pictures. We raised $3,190, which brought us to the bronze limit. For first-year team, that's pretty good. We had a lot of people were excited to see Discovery Bay there. this is at the beginning. They had a survivor lab. Cancer survivors walk the track. And for next year, we've already pre-registered for 2012, and we're going to look forward to better times ahead and raising more money and getting the word out. So, and that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you. Farron, did you have anything that you wanted to? It's good to see you here tonight. General, nice to have you living in town, I guess, then, huh? General, I'm not going to make it. General Counsel, do you have any?
I don't want this meet to go on any longer.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me here. It's been about 5 years since I've been at your meetings. So Dan Schroeder's in Hawaii, and I'll come back.
All right.
Thank
you. For the record, it's Deanne Gillick that's in here tonight, representing New Miller and Beardsley, and we're glad to have you. Thanks for coming. Committee updates. We already covered that, didn't we?
We just include now in the agenda. We added a spot for minutes of the committees as they meet, so the entire board can see the minutes of the different meetings.
Okay. Correspondence is listed. And are there any future agenda items? Director Simon.
I'm not sure how to word this. This is what we talked about as far as the law setting and office of responsibility. I would like to put it on the agenda.
And wastewater.
So we can find out exactly what documentation is available that shows what their obligation is.
What are
our obligations?
Okay.
Or either.
Either or.
Yeah. Anything else from any of the board members? Future agenda items?
I was still hoping that we would talk about electricity and how we might possibly lower that very high toll.
Yes, actually, Virgil and I met with the firm yesterday on that subject. I'm not sure where it's going to go, but if we do decide to move this one portion forward anyway, then we'll have to go to the board. So it could bring about some savings, probably in the neighborhood of $60,000 to $70,000 a year, if what they're telling us is true.
Okay. And can we get an update at the next meeting on the internship program? How that's working out?
Yes.
Thank you.
Anything else?
I bet it's only the fifth inning.
I would say.